It's an Oakland day. Oakland, I tell you. Lincoln Kennedy will join us at 8:05. We're really going to start opening up our Oakland Raiders coverage.
Raiders.
It's exciting, man. I'm telling you. This is going to be an exciting, I hope. I'm knocking on wood. I'm rooting for Raider fan here. It's going to be an exciting year for both the Raiders and Niners, just in totally different ways. With the Niners, it's okay. You got John Lynch. You have Kyle Shanahan. Hey, maybe they won't suck that bad, but probably. That's the excitement for Niner fans. For Raider fans, man, it's – I don't know about you guys. It's Super Bowl or bust. I really think so. I absolutely think so. You're damn right. The autumn wind is blowing a Lombardi this way. I'm telling you. And it all lines up with the whole Vegas thing and all that crap. Watch the Raiders peel off two or three Super Bowls in a row. I really do hope when they leave, they have to leave lugging that trophy. Just because I hate the fact that they're leaving. And I hope Raider fan gets every single – I've gone full-bore fanboy for Raider fan. That your team is leaving. You've been screwed for years. I think they're putting together something really, really special. We'll talk to Lincoln Kennedy. I think they already have put together something really special. I think they're adding to it.
It's been so long since we've talked to Lincoln.
It has. So we'll talk to him as camps are set to open up or already open in some cases.
Some of them, yeah.
And what goes on. Somebody, by the way, from the 530 texted, and I haven't verified this, but I think it's correct. Talking about the Dallas Cowboys and what they've dealt with. Hey, Oakland Raiders, zero arrests. How about that?
I mean, they do have the Conley situation, though.
Yeah, that he hasn't signed?
Because they're still investigating rape allegations.
Is that why he hasn't signed? Or I mean, isn't there like six first-rounders or five first-rounders that haven't signed? I know that's a complication. I do. But is that, I mean, do we,
according
I'm asking.
According to the reports, okay. They're saying he hasn't signed because they're still under investigation.
Well, still technically.
Well, good, yeah.
Zero arrests.
Yeah.
So. Also, I heard about this over the weekend. This has nothing to do with sports, but come on. From the 209, I was very close to going. In fact, in retrospect, I probably should have gone to the Lionel Richie, Mariah Carey show because maybe I wouldn't have gotten food poisoning that night. And
I love Lionel Richie.
By the way, it was Lionel Richie, Mariah Carey, and then Sunday night was Hall & Oates, and I believe both sold out.
Oh.
You know, bigger than basketball, all that good stuff. And apparently at the end of her performance – and maybe somebody else can – I've heard this a couple of different places to where I'm sure it happened. Mariah Carey said, I love you, Bay Area.
Yeah, I heard that as well. Someone tweeted at me and was like, please tell Mariah Carey that Sacramento is not the Bay Area.
Come on.
Because I have her phone number. So
yes.
I'm going to
– let her know.
Hey, Mariah, just an FYI.
She was
geography.
She was actually going to fill in yesterday when I was out sick,
yeah.
But she had some tour stuff.
Yeah.
She doesn't know how to work a phone.
She had some mic problems.
She probably doesn't know how to work a phone, Matt. You're probably right. I mean, you get to that point, you're so damn detached. Do you really? I understand that. Listen, if she doesn't know the difference from Citrus Heights to Elk Grove, I get it. I don't accept. She's a worldly figure. I understand. You really think? Who told you it was a good idea to call Sacramento the Bay Area? I mean, that's just this side of saying.
Can we at least concede this fact? Mariah Carey's not necessarily with it,
no.
Right? Not all circuits are firing. There's some things that are wrong there.
I'm with you.
I mean,
I'm with you.
One hell of a singer at one point.
Dear Lord.
But come on.
Come on, Mo.
That's asking too much of Mariah. You know what she's very accomplished at?
She's starting to sound like Harry Carey in her later years. Just going all, what is she, what now?
You know what she's very accomplished at? And can we just recognize this for what it is and
what?
Move on? She has never been able to not hook a billionaire.
Oh, is that? Well, Nick Cannon wasn't a billionaire, was he?
That didn't last.
Okay.
She got some kids out of it. Ooh, yeah. That's how she does it. She says, touch my body, and then it's over.
You know, every Mariah Carey song since whatever that album was with Love Takes Time.
What?
The song, it was either a debut album or a second album.
Okay.
Every Mariah Carey song since, I'm like, yeah. All right. I remember back when she, I think the Love Takes Time video, she's like rolling around on a beach.
She's seriously,
it's a great song.
Like, she's a very talented, and her voice has changed. we'll say that.
Now she hit puberty. I get it. That's fine. It happens. By the way, speaking of tours, Justin Bieber's tour is going to suck for Matt George. He canceled it.
What?
Canceled his tour.
Damn it.
Yeah, he's done. He said, screw it.
I'm doing my Belieber shirt.
Said, due to unforeseen circumstances, which according to sources, I love how I know
this. Does it come down to the Despacito debacle?
He just says, according to sources, it told TMZ, he said, I'm over it. So there's a bunch of American dates.
I'm over making money.
Hollywood Bowl.
PMSing again?
Apparently. Piss and moan syndrome. So you got the Hollywood Bowl, he's not playing. You got MetLife Stadium in New York, he's not playing. The Biebs. Although I will say this, when I read about it, he's been touring since March of 2016. What the hell tours that long? Jeez. 18 months?
Must be tough.
My goodness. Yeah, apparently she mentioned a couple times that the Sacramento was the Bay Area. So there you go. There's your Mariah Carey and Justin Bieber update, 7 to 9, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. They've got you covered. All right, so the New York Knicks have moved on.
I bet they love it when you throw their name in.
Jiffy Lube's just my random, like, my random sponsor. If I don't have a place to put it, it is Jiffy Lube. I get a free read. I don't know if they want it.
That's what I'm saying.
But they got it.
I don't think that they could sign off on this.
We keep losing money.
Can we get some production behind that? Your Mariah Carey, Justin Bieber tour updates brought to you by Jiffy Lube. They've got you covered. So when you look at what Derrick Rose did last year for the Knicks, you know something? He didn't have a bad year. True, he played 64 games, which I think is somewhere around that's just under what DeMarcus Cousins averages every year. I mean, let's put it in perspective, 64.
Yeah, but how many of those games were because Sacramento was resting?
I get it. I understand.
That's why you got to be careful with these situations.
But we're talking about 18 games that he missed out of 82. I'm saying for Derrick Rose purpose, that's like he's like Cal Ripken.
Well, one of them was not due to injury.
Well,
you know that.
Yeah, exactly. He averaged 18 points, 4.5 assists, 4 boards, shot 47%, yep. 88% from the line.
His best shooting percentage since the year before his MVP.
Yeah. Now, granted, when you look at his games played in the last few years, 64, 66, 51, 10, 39.
Yeah.
And he's still 28. I mean, he'll be 29 when the season starts.
Can we just agree on this one thing, though?
Yeah.
Derrick Rose is nowhere near as good as Kyrie Irving. Can we just agree on that?
No,
okay.
No.
Just checking.
He's not. So what's interesting with this move with Derrick Rose is, let's just talk best case scenario for the Cavs. If Derrick Rose is able to play 60-some-odd games this year at that level, and most importantly, he plays every game in the playoffs, could you make an argument that the Cavs will be a better team next year if they're able to trade Kyrie Irving for some significant pieces? Now, follow me here. You got Derrick Rose, okay, and you have the drop-off from Derrick Rose to Kyrie Irving.
Which
okay?
is huge.
Which is a big drop-off. But if you're able to ship out Kyrie Irving, and then now who are we bringing in? I mean, seriously, who are we bringing in? Or what group of people are we bringing? Yeah, we. I'm Dan Gilbert. How you doing? Well, more on that later. Dan Gilbert's in a little bit of trouble. But if you're able to bring in, I'm just spitballing here. But let's say that, you know, listen, if they bring in Carmelo Anthony for Kyrie Irving, all bets are off. I mean, Carmelo's fine and great and dandy and all that. But if they're able to fill a couple of spots with good players, you telling me you can't make an argument that the drop-off from Kyrie to Derrick Rose would be offset, if not erased, by whatever increase they're going to get at those two other weak spots? That's my argument. And I know it's a long shot, but I'm saying best case for the Cavs, they're trying to say, you know, they bring in Derrick Rose. I think that's what's in their head. And as I just mentioned, Dan Gilbert has other issues. He put out a Facebook post Sunday night.
Oh, no.
It was an apology because his company, his organization screwed up pretty badly. They put up a downtown sign, downtown Detroit.
Downtown Detroit.
And the sign said, "See Detroit like we do." And it's a picture. It's a guy playing a trumpet, and people are, you know, it's one of those things like you'd see the downtown commons. Like, everyone's happy. This is a great place to be. Hey, look,
right.
He's blowing a trumpet.
Don't you
people smile.
Be here?
The only problem is they're pretty much all white. They're,
wait, are they pretty much or are they all?
Well, I think I see one person of color right there. So I don't want to say all.
Maybe.
Oh, okay, let's put it this way. It's almost all white.
Well, here's the thing.
Detroit's 82% black.
Yes! There you go.
82% black.
See it like we do.
So Dan's like, I'm sorry. Screwed up. Our bad. Now let me get back to screwing up the Cavs. So I don't know, man. I the big deal now is what the hell is going on with Kyrie Irving. Where is he going? Is he going to Minnesota? Is he going to Denver? You know, I really kind of hope he goes to Minnesota. I do. I'm rooting for him to go to Minnesota. I just don't know who they'd have to give up. I'd love to see Minnesota come out of nowhere with a super team and just surprise everybody and suck forever and then turn around and just be this amazing team that everybody wants to play for now. You can throw the whole narrative out the window about how nobody wants to play in cold weather and everybody wants to play in Miami or L.A.
Derrick Rose is set to make $2.1 million next season.
Yeah.
Last season, do you know how much he made?
16, 14, 12.
21.3.
So that's a pay cut.
Little bet.
Three
little bet.
For Madness is next. We got a Lucky Whitehead signing. We've got Fox versus Ball dad version and so much more. Don't go away. 4 minutes away on the drive. Spores, 1140 KHDK.
If Lucky Whitehead caught 80 passes last year, do the Cowboys release him?
Okay, first off, I just want to say it's awesome to read that sentence. That's just a sentence I never thought I'd hear in my life. Let's see.
Sentence.
No. Yeah, no, they wouldn't. Of course they wouldn't. If Lucky Whitehead caught 80 passes last year, Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones would be standing behind. I mean, it's really like a real-life movie. They'd be standing behind him talking about character. And by the way, Cowboy fan, put your tall boy down at 7:18 in the morning. Drop the beer and stop pounding the phone with your fists. It's not just the Cowboys. This is something that is prevalent throughout the NFL. The Cowboys just happen to be the flavor of the month in this situation.
No, they would not release him. I think it's very clear. I would even venture out, Dave, and say it's not just the NFL that's guilty of this. It's professional sports. It's what have you done for me lately? And Lucky Whitehead has done nothing for them lately but have their name in the media more than maybe Ezekiel Elliott. And here's the thing. If Ezekiel Elliott as a rookie last year didn't come out and just blow people away, would they be dealing with the situation with him with everything differently? Yes, they would. But to have Jason Garrett come out and say, culture matters, character matters to this organization. I just wish that they would go through some kind of media training where you don't put those words out in the world because it's bull crap. None of it means anything. What matters in professional sports, period, is production. Lucky Whitehead hasn't done anything at all.
No. No, he hasn't. By the way, Green Bay, Dallas, Philly, L.A., the Jets, and Seattle all have the same amount of arrests in the last year. In case you were wondering, over the last 5 years, I have this great website up that breaks down all the arrests. What would you like to guess, since July 25th of 2012, the top crime in the NFL has been?
Gun-related charges.
Gun-related charges. No, I'm sorry, although some might be mixed in there. Number one on the list, DUI. Matt, was that your guess?
I was going to guess armed robbery.
Armed robbery. Well, drugs is number two. Domestic violence, three.
Because these guys are basically weapons themselves.
Assault is number four. And disorderly conduct, number five. If you're looking for the all-stars on the list, the top players, number one, Alden Smith. Number two, Adam Pac-Man Jones.
I was going to say Adam Pac-Man Jones is the number one. Man.
Nigel Bradham and Ray McDonald at number four.
Does Alden Smith count? He's not even playing.
He's still in the NFL, and we got to move on. But finally, if you're looking for the top position arrested in the last 5 years, By a good amount, the number one position arrested in the NFL, linebacker, 43, cornerback, 29 in second place, just ahead of running back and wide receiver. Number two.
Do ex-players have a right to grade and criticize current players?
Yes, that is an easy answer. In fact, I'll even take it a step further. Any analyst that is being paid by a network, or that's their job, regardless of what their background is, they may not have played, but there are plenty of analysts that come from like a coaching background or anything like that. That is their job. Their job is to evaluate, criticize, analyze. It doesn't matter. Yes, they have that right. However, usually former players try to go about it in a little bit different way. I think the difference is now is that because of the amount of criticism that is heaped on players because of the internet and social media, I think players are more aware of it than ever before, and I think they're a little bit more butthurt about it than ever before. And I get it to a certain degree, but part of it is like, you know what? Shut up. It doesn't matter. Like, go out there and perform. Don't listen to the haters. Don't listen. The only thing that matters is if you're employed, you have a job, and an organization wants you. Period.
I would have lost money on this one. When I put this question in there, I actually thought you would come out pretty much on the side of the current players. Honestly,
no.
I thought you were going to go with the whole, you know what, listen, ex-players understand what it's like to be in that position. And, you know,
I mean, you do. You absolutely do. And criticism hurts. But your job as a pro is to not listen to the exterior bullcrap.
Well, I'll give you the floor on most of that because I agree with you. Let me just say the part I agree with the most is this. Now, just because you make a lot of money and you're famous doesn't mean you're immune to criticism. But geez,
you're not.
Unless they're going after your family or saying something way below the belt. If somebody comes out and says, hey, this guy sucks, guess what? You suck and you're making millions of dollars and that's the price you pay. And stop being such a weak ass and just go play your game.
I expect more from former players in terms of how they approach their criticism. Did he go too far? Maybe a little bit.
How? By saying yuck?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know if it's based on just that comment or a history of his analysis. I don't know.
I get
David Price got his panties in a wad.
Yes.
Apparently he wasn't the only one. The entire team clapped about it. It is what it is.
Entire team's a bunch of ding-dongs. That's my opinion. Number three.
Breaking news. You don't need to be a former player to understand the ins and outs of a game, too.
Well, for the most part, I agree. You know, for the most part, I agree, and that's a separate conversation, though, because I do think that there's this budding hair on the neck that comes up amongst media members that didn't play that resent the idea that ex-athletes could bring something to the table that they can't. And I think ex-athletes can bring something to the table that media members can't.
But bring something to the table is different from not being able to understand a game enough to criticize a player.
Well, no,
you can be a student of a game without ever being able to play it well enough to be pro.
I think there's people that have never played the game that understand it better than people that have played the game. Just depend. I think they're each individually graded situations, though. One is not a stereotype of the whole thing. Number three.
All right, guys, how much is the Fox Dad versus Ball Dad rivalry getting you stoked for the season?
We have the audio here, I believe. This is the latest on, I think somebody asked Ball Dad. I like calling them this, by the way. Somebody asked Ball Dad.
I like Dad Ball.
Or Dad Ball. That's fine. Pop Ball. What? Nope, that sounds like an injury. What would happen? Or why did Lonzo duck De'Aaron Fox in Vegas or something like that? And here's what Ball Dad had to say.
Is he upset that his son got outplayed in a game that mattered?
Somebody's salty.
Seriously. So yesterday I was basically talking about how much I love this and how it's like reviving this Kings-Lakers rivalry and why it's so awesome and so great. And someone tweeted me, Katie, be like, I don't like LeVar Ball running his mouth. I love when Aaron Fox runs his mouth. Yes, I do. I absolutely do.
That's right.
Because I want someone to step up that is on equal playing ground. The only equal playing ground, it's not us. It's not the media saying how stupid LeVar Ball is, which, by the way, my opinion varies on him day to day, okay?
Uh-huh.
But the fact that another player's father is stepping up, I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. If we're going to do it, have it be equal. This is not MMA versus boxing. This is equal freaking playing ground. And I say, let it go. Let it go. I want to see it.
I hope they get in a fight in the tunnel during the Las Vegas preseason game, like Shaq and Jackie Christie did. I hope it happens. I hope they hate each other. I hope they hate each other for 10 freaking years. I did see a video the other day of LeVar, and I think it was LaMelo or LiAngelo or one of them that were at a signing, and some dude came up and was like, hey, man, you want to do something crazy? And everyone's looking at him like, what are you talking about? He's talking to LeVar. He says, let's trade hats. And he trades hats with LeVar. But the interesting thing was the hat he traded LeVar was a yarmulke. Guy was Jewish. He's wearing a yarmulke. Uh-huh. So LeVar starts going off about how he loves Hanukkah because it's 8 days. And pretty soon there's going to be big baller brand yarmulkes. I actually thought it was pretty funny because I'm sitting there imagining a yarmulke with the BBB across it. Ah, we'll take a break. Oh, he's not all bad, just mostly. When we get back, Kyrie Irving is perhaps on the move. We'll dive into that. That's been going on ad nauseum, but we have a couple of different angles for you. Draymond Green is, huh?
Plus Adam Silver's
Adam Silver's
in
got
it.
A comment. Draymond Green could be in some more trouble. Dan Gilbert is in a little bit of trouble. And what it is about LeBron haters that I just hate so much, and you really need to stop immediately. I'll tell you what that is.
Oh, no.
I just want to punch him in the forehead, which would hurt my knuckles
it
more
really
than anything.
Would.
Yeah, it's a drive back in 3 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK. You all right, buddy?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What was that? Was that a little acid reflux happening?
My lungs ran out of things.
Things?
Things.
I think it's called oxygen.
O2 or whatever. Chemistry.
Coming up in the next hour, we're going to give you Guns N' Roses tickets. We'll give you a chance. Every once in a while, there's a prize so special that you got to work for it. You're going to have to work for this one. And when I say work for it, listen. If you have a general working knowledge of Guns N' Roses' music, and we may do more difficult ones as the week progresses, you're going to know the answer to this. Pair of tickets, Guns N' Roses, Golden One Center, November 18th. More information at khtk.com. We told you earlier about the trouble that Cleveland Cavalier owner Dan Gilbert is in, or his company at least, as they, it's just, you know, there.
You know what's crazy about this? Before you even say it, we talked about it earlier. What blows my mind about it is that he pays people.
Just where I was going.
A ton of money.
A lot more than we all make combined.
To handle this kind of stuff.
Yep.
How does it get, and it's not just a person, it's a team
it's
of people.
It's a team. They have meetings, they have, I mean, I've been in these before.
Yeah.
I've witnessed these.
It's just not like a billboard just goes up.
It's not like Fred and accounting put together this billboard that says, see Detroit like we do, and it's all white people. Now, listen, I get the whole everyone's sensitive, and we're all offended by too much stuff. I understand. This is not one of those situations. When you have a city that is 82% black, and there is a sign that shows about 50 people, and they're all white, and it says, see Detroit like we do. That's a problem. That's just a problem. So, yes, Katie, you have all these
ill-advised people
all making six figures plus, driving Mercedes and Fords from Folsom Lake Ford.
That's the problem, though.
Right.
That's the problem. It's who you have making these decisions and where they are. There's a lack of diversity in so many ways throughout all kinds of corporations. And this is a prime example of a lack of diversity. I don't even have to see the team that put this together to know that there is like zero diversity.
You put up the sign. And Dan Gilbert, listen. I it's tough for me to say to his credit because I think he's a ding dong, but you know, you do all you can. He came out and said it was stupid, it was dumb, we're just idiots, and I'm taking it down. And you know, what else you want from me is, you know, this is stupid. And I'm sure a bunch of people will get fired over it. But again, just picture the situation. There are like multiple meetings with PowerPoint presentations and 10, 15, this thing probably got seen by 100 people before it was ever put out there.
And it went through several phases of approval.
Sure, that's how these work. Like I said, it's not Fred in accounting who just drew it up and said, hey, let's put this picture up there. So he's got his own problems, apart from destroying the Cavalier franchise. Speaking of Detroit, I want to segue into this. many people were wondering what the next step would be for former Sacramento Kings team president Chris Granger. Well, he has been hired by Detroit's very powerful Ilitch family. You probably don't know who they are. I can tell you they are the ones that own Little Caesars. That's how I know them. They also own the...
It all comes back to food for you, doesn't
it? Well, sure.
It?
It's food or Sacramento. One of the two. They own Little Caesars. They own Detroit.
Is it Little Caesars or is it Lil
it's
Caesars?
It's Little.
Okay.
And I'm glad they never did the whole Lil.
Little Caesars.
Lil apostrophe. It's Little Caesars. Now, granted, there is no, although I always wondered if there would be someday, there is no Big Caesars. It's just Little Caesars. Little Caesars, they own the Detroit Tigers, the Red Wings, and the $2.1 billion, see if this sounds familiar, District Detroit. That includes Little Caesars Arena that opens in September. They have hired Chris Granger. He will now be the group president, sports and entertainment for Ilitch Holdings. Now, what does that mean he will be doing? He will be, now this is such corporate speak. He will be optimizing the fan and partner experience in all Ilitch-related venues to grow, recruit, and retain the significant talent in the business side of the company's sports and entertainment organizations, to collaborate with partners to ensure highly active, attractive, and community-focused venues, and more. So, basically, he's the big muckety-muck, and after helping to launch the old Golden One Center, he's now going to help launch Little Caesars Arena. And that's great and good for him. And hey, good luck to him and his family, who are awesome. His wife Jennifer is fantastic. They're great people. I love it. I will say this. I hope he cashed out. I hope he cashed out. I really do. Because let's be honest, we're moving to Detroit. We're moving to Detroit. There's got to be some extra money there if you're moving to Detroit. Detroit is not exactly, you go from Sacramento to Detroit, you're talking about climate. Now, anybody from Detroit listening right now is about ready to knife me, because everybody I've ever met from Detroit is like, D, what's up? D-Town, Detroit. You know, and I get it. I get being loyal to a city that you're from that generally gets killed nationally. I don't know. It's not my job to be Chris Granger's career counselor. He does just fine on his own. And now he gets to go from launching Golden One Center in downtown Commons to launching this Little Caesars Arena, and you know, the whole their version of downtown Commons, which is District Detroit. I got to talk to Chris, because I honestly want to find this out. Does he get discounts on Little Caesars?
I knew that.
Of course, come
on.
Of course,
my God.
If you're taking a job with the owners of Little Caesars, isn't that part of the contract?
Like $2 off.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he pays $5 pizza.
Now he pays it. No. What are you talking about? $5 pizza? $5 ready to go, man. Pepperoni at Little Caesars. You can walk and pick them up at any time. Not that I know that there's one right off Alberta.
And he wonders why you got food poisoning.
Let's go to Lester. Lester, how are you?
Good, Dave. How you doing this morning?
Doing great, sort of.
Dave, I'm not trying to defend the billboard, but just take a half a step back and think about it. It's a group of white people, right?
Sure.
Do you think maybe the billboard in itself is trying to create some diversity in the city of Detroit by saying, look at it how we look at it as white people, to bring more white people to the...
Okay, well, hold on, Katie. Don't get ruffly here. Let's roll with this for a second. Let's roll, Lester. Let me. I'm going to talk about this with you. Let's roll with it. Let's say that they put up a billboard in Detroit, which is 82% black,
right.
and the billboard was filled with white people, and
right.
and just to make sure I'm on your wavelength here, I'm with you that the idea was like, hey, so what would the theme there be? Detroit, not as black as you think it is. I mean, I'm asking you, is that where
well,
we're?
But I mean, you don't have to be so blunt about it. I'm just saying, maybe its intent. Its intentions is to bring more white people there, saying, hey, as a white person, it's not really that bad. It's not. It's.
But
not,
the implication there is that having a town of 82% black people is bad. Do you see
no,
that?
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying.
You do realize that's how it comes across, right?
I mean,
what's that?
You do realize that's how it comes across, though, when you say, hey, it's not that bad. White people come here, too.
unless we're not trying to kill you, I'm trying to run with what you're saying and legitimately have a conversation. But isn't that how it comes across if you're saying we're going to put up this photo of white people to try to get rid of the stereotype that Detroit is so black?
There are so many people. It's not like there's like four people in this photo. There's 50 people in this photo.
Let's talk it out. So are we on the same page there, or are we missing something? Because I don't want to steamroll you here.
Well, I'm once again, I'm not trying to defend it.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with my own personal beliefs. I'm just thinking that maybe there's an alternative thought behind it.
If there's an alternative thought behind it, and it was, see, I'm willing to say that it was just people being tone,
thought.
That it was just a tone deaf thing. If there was actually a thought behind it, Lester, that there was actually some intent to show people outside of Detroit that, hey, white people are here too, that's a much, 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 much times 10 bigger issue. Because
where is the billboard at?
I believe the billboard was near the district, downtown Detroit.
So it is actually in Detroit.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, if you put that in San Francisco, would it have a different meaning there?
If you put a billboard, what are you saying, a billboard filled with white people and saying, see San Francisco how we see it?
No, say see Detroit.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing.
I don't think it matters where it's at because you're dealing with a stereotype of a city that is 82% black, and it has a bad reputation. And this is a city that couldn't even keep their streetlights on. It's a bigger thing than just the dynamics of the population. It's a city that has struggled for so many reasons economically, like all of these things. I think it's very short-sighted. You say it's an incomplete thought to me. It wasn't tone deaf.
And I don't think, listen, I think Lester on... would often get killed here, and I'm not. I think I understand, Lester. I understand what you're thinking. I understand your thought process from A to Z. I'm just saying that if that was the thought process, and I don't believe it was, I think that's a much bigger issue, because then the implication is, hey, come move to Detroit. Look, there's white people here. It's not that bad. It's not as black as you say. Come live in Detroit. And I, in my heart, I'm going to go ahead and think in my heart of hearts that people aren't that silly enough to be able to do that or roll that through, that this was just something that was tone deaf and they should have been a little more aware.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I'm just trying to, throw a different thought out there and cause some conversation.
You did that. Thank you.
Thanks, Lester.
Appreciate you, Lester. I think the instinct it would just be to just kill Lester. I don't think Lester was, or at least what I saw, I don't think Lester was calling in with ill intentions. I think Lester was trying to present an alternative point of view. I just think that alternative point of view is much worse than the original point of view, which was, well, sorry. We didn't think it through. And like I said, I get the whole, I'm not as PC as I probably should be. I'm okay with people being offended from time to time, depending on the offense. In this case, I get it, man. I absolutely get why people are upset. I don't think it's much ado about nothing. I think it's something that's just tone deaf and silly, especially when you have the economic issues going on in Detroit. You have what's going on up in Flint. You have so many different things going on there. If that truly was the thought process, that's a pretty goofy-ass thought process. All right, so we have Susan Slusser coming up at 8:30. Sorry.
I'm really worried every time you have a little bit of a reflex something's going to come out.
I am too. For those of you just joining us, I was out with food poisoning yesterday. I'm still not altogether back. And yes, I said there were certain things I can't trust for a while. one of them is burps.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one. Draymond Green. Draymond Green is in trouble. This is an older thing. This didn't just happen. Although there's now a civil lawsuit just happening. A Michigan State football player.
Now a former Michigan State football player.
About a year ago. Reportedly went up to Draymond Green at an East Lansing bar in the early morning of July 10th, which, in the early morning always means like 1 a.m.
So
2 a.m., 3 a.m.
Before you say this, we reported on this story when it happened, right? And the whole thing and whatever.
Yes.
there was one part of this story that is new to me.
Mm-hmm.
This was just from how I remember it, and you correct me if you remember it a different way. It was Draymond Green saying to him, "I pay your scholarship," right? As an alum, he's saying,
sure.
"Look at me, Draymond Green, NBA star, NBA champion. Like, I'm big time. I pay your scholarship. You're nothing," right?
Sure.
That's what it was. But then when this came out about this civil lawsuit that this player and his girlfriend have now filed against Draymond Green, there's a piece of the story that's really important to me that was missing from before. The whole thing started with this player who is from Cleveland, Ohio, talking trash to Draymond Green about, "Hey, my Cavs just knocked you off in the NBA Finals."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up with his girlfriend to Draymond Green and allegedly getting in Draymond Green's face and taunting him. Now, that apparently happened early that morning, and Green kind of let it go. He didn't know who the guy was. When he was first approached, he ignored him. Then allegedly afterwards, after getting in Draymond's face with verbal taunts and threats, they now say that both he and his girlfriend were grabbed by the throat by Green's associates.
And that's the thing, not Draymond, his associates.
Right.
Yes.
So now the attorney, Lisa Bloom, who, by the way, happens to be the daughter of attorney Gloria Allred, who has defended celebrity clients such as comedian Kathy Griffin and Blac Chyna, is now making a money grab. Honestly, dude, and it sucks to... when you're a sports guy looking at an article on a potential lawsuit and you try to be judge, jury, and executioner, it's always kind of stupid, but I'm going to be stupid for a second because you don't have all the details. And Lord knows I'm not a Draymond Green defender. In fact, I'm quite the opposite.
Which is why me defending him right now is the irony in this.
We've talked about this before. There's a very fine line between advocating violence, which we don't do, and the conversation that we've often had. In fact, I had it with Garrett Temple on Twitter just a couple days ago. There is a video out.
You and Garrett are like secretly becoming besties.
Should I be jealous? He's active on Twitter.
That's yeah,
all. We weren't like, it's not like he called me. I was like, "Hey, Dave, what's going on? Let's talk about this Twitter thing." We're going back and forth on Twitter. And it was very enlightening because De'Aaron Fox put a video out, and the Kings retweeted it, of this drive-by dunk challenge, which, by the way, is kind of stupid.
I think it's kind of awesome.
You know what? It's really awesome until someone gets shot.
Oh, okay.
I'm not joking. This thing is really awesome until someone's going to get shot. You had a guy shoot an AT&T truck outside of his house not that long ago because, hey, AT&T truck. There are psycho people out there who have guns and have basketball hoops in their driveway. And when someone rolls up and goes and dunks on that hoop, I'm just saying, I get a little nervous about this. Call me a worrywart, whatever. I care about people's safety, and this kind of scares me a little bit.
I shot the kid because he dunked on my hoop.
No! It's whatever, and I've had issues at my house before, and I hear this rustling outside, and I see this dude running up. And
you go out there with your fly assault gun.
Yes, that's what I would do.
And shoot him up with salt.
That's what I would do.
You them fly queen.
Get off of my court, kids.
With your pink camo assault rifle.
I'm not saying I would shoot someone.
Just underwear.
And I happen to, yeah.
It is cutoff t-shirt.
It's my sleeveless shirt.
What did
and underwear.
He call them earlier? His
undies.
Undies?
Yeah.
With a cat shirt throwing up everywhere.
No. I don't cut the sleeves off of cat shirts. It'd be like some old MMA brand.
His sleeveless shirt is a Phoenix Mercury sleeveless shirt.
I have
shirt,
that.
No
I have
lie.
Like 30. Yeah, I have the Phoenix right. Mercury. I've got like old cage fighter shirts.
I'm going to come dunk on your hoop in a Kobe jersey.
And you know what? I have.
He would shoot you.
Yeah, probably. I have a hoop out front of my house. I do. I have a hoop out front of my house. I'm not. I want to be clear. I'm not going to shoot anybody for doing the drive-by dunk challenge. I'm saying that I hope to
God. There's crazy people in this world.
And I'm knocking on wood and I pray that that's gonna end this whole drive-by dunk cute thing really quick. Anyways, De'Aaron Fox. I saw Anthony Davis doing it over the weekend. De'Aaron Fox, he goes and does this. getting back to the serious conversation we were about to have. And, you know, there's another point. Here we go.
Here goes the text line.
Okay, what happens if somebody does the drive-by dunk thing and they tear their knee? What happens if the hoop comes down? Now, I'm not an attorney. Again, I need to call Gloria Allred or her daughter. But how much you want to bet that there's some sort of thing that's going to happen where someone's going to drive by and dunk on some dude's driveway, and the hoop is going to collapse or something's going to happen, and they're going to tear something or get hurt, and then they're going to sue the house, the homeowner. You know, like when the burglars sue them, when the burglars burgle a house, and then they sue the homeowner. That's probably going to happen too. Anyway.
Make them sign a waiver.
Yes. Have a stand in your grass with a clipboard that says, if you're going to drive by dunk, please sign this waiver. Thank you. So De'Aaron Fox does this dunk. He puts out the video. And then one of the first comments underneath is a guy that says, I hope you tear your knee.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, and then you click on the guy's profile picture, and it's like, believer in trust and love and this and that, blah, blah, blah. So I took a picture of the profile, and I took a picture of what he said, and I kind of tweeted it out with a scratching my chin. And I'm like, who are you people? And then Garrett comes in.
Yeah.
And says, basically, you know, it's, I don't understand the thought behind it. You hide behind these keyboards, and you say this stuff. And you would never say this to somebody's face.
No.
Why would you even have, why would you wish that a 19-year-old kid who just got drafted into the NBA tears his knee doing a drive-by dunk contest?
Because people are horrible.
But that's the
thing. It's one thing to put, and I'm trying to pull it up, but you tweet like crazy. So it's like going back trying to find a picture
just
on
go through my media.
I am on my sister's Facebook page. Okay, here it is. Hope he blows out a knee, right? And then his bio reads, doing everything I can to be better. I believe in kindness and courtesy, but do not feel remorseful about cutting the rope on degenerates and imbeciles.
So apparently he's qualifying De'Aaron Fox as one?
A degenerate and an imbecile.
Because he did a drive-by dunk. You got a 19-year-old kid. You would never say this to his face. Now back to the whole Draymond Green thing. You and I have this conversation all the time about hecklers at games when they go overboard that they would never say it to these guys
freaking
on
idiots.
The street. So here's a guy that thinks he's going to be Billy Badass with his girlfriend that rolls up to Draymond Green a couple weeks after he just lost the finals, which, by the way, dude, what have you done, Mr. Walk-On or whatever the hell you are at Michigan State? So you're going to go up and you're going to talk crap right in Draymond's face with threats and all that, again, allegedly, and then he turns around at one point and slaps you. Do I condone that? No. Should you sue him? No.
Here's the thing, though. Professional athletes, people with money, it doesn't matter who it is. Anyone that is any way visible, they have to deal with this all the time. And I give Draymond Green so much crap for his on-court antics and kicking people in the nuts and all of these things. And I'm not condoning it. Like, I don't agree with any of that.
Sure.
But, like, for this chick, this lawyer to say he's known as a bully on and off the court.
Man, get out of here.
No, shut your mouth.
Get
like,
out of
if
here.
You have somebody taunting you, you're trying to tell me that everybody else, all of us civilians out here, would be able to contain our response. I'm not saying slapping somebody is okay, but I'm also saying it's not okay for this tool to go up to him and try to bait him into this crap for this reason and this reason alone, Dave, to make money. What an idiot.
A lot of people on Stash Slander saying they're going to dunk on my hoop. Better not dunk on my hoop. You can get an ass full of salt, buddy, with my assault rifle.
Assault.
Assault rifle.
I see what you did there.
You like that thing. Appreciate it. Just taking their trademark.
Most of our listeners have an ass full of salt anyway.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Wakey Kennedy.
Matt Cust on air.
I mean, honestly, he did.
What? We've ruined him.
I'm sorry,
him.
A buttocks.
Better be doing about 12 Hail Marys during the break, brother. Sports 1140.
Hey, my bio says I'm a kind man. There's nothing on them.
Wakey Kennedy's next. We're right back.